Praise God. I told you that I would be choosing the speakers on Saturday night for a while, and just so happened I chose me tonight. Honestly, I thought that our crowd would be tremendously down because of the activity today, and I had a few things I wanted to say. And so we're here before God to worship the Lord and to look into His Word and receive something for our soul tonight. Let's ask God's blessings, will you? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now, Lord, smile upon us. Anoint your word. Give us, Lord, what you would have us to have. Help us, Lord, to be able to reach these people, their heart, their soul, in Jesus' name. Praise God. Amen. You may be seated. I do want to mention Sunday school in the morning. Do me a favor. Be here. That's it. Amen. In our class tomorrow, we'll be studying about judgment to come. My Lord, that's a sermon in itself, isn't it? Judgment to come. And everything is going to be made right by and by. The only thing, you and I could be left outside. And I don't want to hear the Lord say, I don't know you. To stand before God in judgment and to hear Him say, I know you not, is the same as to say, I never knew you. Because regardless of any acquaintance that you might have had in times past, it seems like that is forever stricken off the records. And it's not to be remembered to your credit or to my credit anymore. Just like sin, when it's gone forevermore. Stricken from the records. But if we return like the sow to its wallow, if we go back the other way, all the righteousness that we may have accomplished, all the good things that we may have done, all the tithing that we may have paid, all the shouting that we may have done, it'll all be stricken from the records. And we stand in judgment empty before God. Wouldn't that be terrible? We'll study about that tomorrow. Tonight I want to talk to you from the first chapter of 1 Corinthians. Yep. First epistle of Paul, the apostle, to the Corinthian church. I'd like to call him one of my apostles. Appreciate what Sister Jonathan said. I don't feel quite like Moses, but I know what you meant. I appreciate that. I'll tell you something else. If something happened to Moses, God will raise up a Joshua. And there always has to be a leader. The leaders are to tell, to instruct, to lead, and it's the obligation of the people of God to follow, as Paul said later in this book, follow me even as I also am a follower of Christ. Well, everybody say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let's clap our hands unto the Lord, will you? Amen. God bless you. As I read to you some of the things that Paul said to the church at Corinth, and I want you to see the echo. I want you to see the echo as it sounds on down through time, because what Paul said to the Corinthian church applies to the church of 6th and Dakota Street. If it doesn't, then we might as well ditch this. Is that all right? We believe the Bible to be the written Word of God, don't we? I want you to notice the very first part of it. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sophesimus, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. Do we believe in sanctification? Sure we do. Some folks, we don't use the word sanctification as much as some other groups. Black groups especially use the word sanctified or sanctification. Some of our holiness kin folks use the word saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost as three
separate, distinct works of grace. But sanctification is by the Holy Ghost. That's the way it comes. God calls, God saves, God seals, God sanctifies by His name and by the Holy Ghost. He washes, He cleanses, He justifies, He sanctifies in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Holy Ghost. That's also in this first book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 6. But are you with me tonight? All right. Now, he writes to the church of God. Didn't say anything about the apostolic church here. But it just so happened that we are in the church of God. And furthermore, we belong to the church of Christ. And we belong to the church of the firstborn. But it so happens that all these names is the same church, or titles. And under the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. There's not a one of you here tonight, but what God has called you to be a saint. But really, it's in your hands whether or not you are a saint. Some folks feel that you'll never be a saint until you're dead, after you've died. And then some man can promote you to sainthood. If you're not a saint while you're living, you'll never be a saint after you're dead. You're called to be saints. What is a saint? It's those that are blood washed. It's those that are clean. It's those that are perfect in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, I've run this through several times lately, because I want to press it in your mind. God is not satisfied with anything short of perfection in Him. We're not talking about human error. We're talking about what God calls sanctification. Clean. If you're unclean, you're unfit. If you're unholy, you're not holy. If you're unrighteous, you're not righteous. And know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. If there's condemnation on your life tonight, then you're not ready for the sound of the trumpet.
Right.
We're living in crucial times.
Right.
I've talked to at least six people this week who are having battles with the devil like they've never had before. Now, here's the sad thing. Let me put it this way. If Paul was writing today, let me go a little further to show you that he's writing to us. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. So it didn't stop at Corinth. It's everywhere where people call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm telling you about one of my apostles. I mean, I honor Paul as an apostle unto me. God gave apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints and the edification of the body of Christ. I'm giving honor to the Apostle Paul tonight because what he wrote to the Corinthian church, he included everyone that calls on the name of the Lord. I'm among that group that believe in calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's praise him a little while, will you? Praise the Lord. Now, as we go a little further in this chapter, and we could just keep going through the whole book, but time won't permit that. But as we go into this chapter just a little bit, it deals with a lot of things, some that are not so good, some are terrible. But the command is, to go right back to the beginning, God called us to be saints, to be sanctified, to be clean, to be holy. If he was writing today, I honestly believe that there would be a few things that he would spell out that you may not read in the book of 1 Corinthians. It's things that are problems of our day that is dragging too many people down. He used the things that was prevalent in his day, and if you'll permit me, I'll just mention a few of them as we go along. He brags on the church first, and that's the best way to get people's attention. brag on them first. You're a wonderful group of people. I appreciate every one of you. You look so nice.
And we've already bragged on how good you looked at the ball games today. But, and
he said, in everything you're enriched by him, by the Lord. In all utterance, that's speech.
It's good to have your conversation holy in God. Enriched by the Holy Ghost. That what you say, as well as your actions, may be Holy Ghost actions and Holy Ghost words. Holy Ghost words don't only come in unknown tongues.
Amen. They are conveyed by righteous, godly living.
I wouldn't give a nickel for so-called unknown tongues unless we can talk right with our natural understanding. Praise the Lord.
Now in everything, ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge. I'm talking to a group of people tonight that are not short on knowledge when it comes to the work of God. I don't know much about the atoms. I can't explain a lot of things about the creation or about the elements, about the stars, the sun, the moon, the powers of the universe. I don't know much about it, and I'll probably never know it until the Lord maybe explains it to me in eternity. But I'll tell you this much. You've got enough sense to serve God. Now, God didn't leave this up to me to make up my mind what's right and what's not right. And he didn't leave it up to you to make up your mind what's right and what's not right. There's enough written in this book, and there's enough conviction of the Holy Ghost to put it in our heart that we know how we ought to live. Blessed be the name of the Lord. One lady that I talked to just today, relative to a problem because she's leading her family astray. She has cut her hair, and she says, but I'd have you know. Now, I won't tell you. I wouldn't even tell my wife who this was, so don't start guessing. It might not even be anybody that's connected to this church. Then again, it might be. Don't that make you want to know? Boy, if you could just find out, that'd give you something to gossip about. But you're not a gossiper, thank God. Isn't that wonderful? All right. But she said, I would have you know it's my head and I'll do with it what I please. I would have her know that Paul says the head of every woman is the man. Oh, hallelujah. Now, you see, you cannot do as you please. And the head of every man, mister, I'd have you know, is Christ. And even Christ in his earthly role said, not my will, but thine be done, because God the Spirit was the head of Christ. So as none of us really can do as we please and think we can get by with it or make up our mind as to what is right or what is wrong. Now, what do you think is going to happen to those three children that this mother has who's setting such a terrible example? What do you think is going to happen to them? One of them's already cut her hair, just like Mama. The other one is threatening to leave home. Another one. I don't know about the third one. You see, it all starts with missing church. It all starts with putting something else more important than church. It starts with getting carried away with some program of the world more than you are. You remember when I preached to you some time ago, I'm a jealous pastor. I think I'm more jealous tonight than I've ever been. That's the reason I've been real cautious, even with our ball game activity and all that. I don't want us to get more interested in that than we are in youth service, our church, or worship. A church is not built on ball games or Winnie Rolls. Nothing wrong with these things in themselves as long as we control them. Now, that's what's wrong with a lot of other things. We might even mention television, since it is a thing that's talked about today, and I'm supposed to be real weak on the television issue, you know. And like most preachers, I have seen it a few times, and will probably see it again. So I'm not trying to get on any hobby horse. But if you can't control that, it will control you. It's the same way with the ball games. If we can't control them, it'll control us.
It's the same way with the worldly music. If we can't, because I haven't got no time, I haven't got 1/100th, I haven't got 1/32nd thousand, 1/30th, I haven't got anything. I sound like Amos and Andy. I've been listening so much. I haven't got any time for any kind of worldly music. Hillbilly, rock and roll, contemporary, or any other name that they put on it. And don't think I'm fanatic because I did hear. I'm just a swingin'. But I accidentally heard it. You talk about it so long I laughed when I heard it. But I haven't got no time, I haven't got any time, I'll get it right, teacher, for any of this foolishness, because there are better things to be interested in than the things of this world. And if you can't control that, it will control you. The fashions, the fads, the things of this world, it is pulling at our people like it never has before. The scripture talks about the deceitfulness of riches. You see, people get just a little bit and can't serve God. Get just a little bit and want to look a little bit more like the world. Get just a little bit and got to go to the beach. I refuse to have anything to do with the beach parties. I don't think any child of God has any need of bikinis or bathing suits and mixed bathing under any circumstances. Boy, I'm a liberal, aren't I? I'm trying to tell you the thing I believe, folks. If Paul was writing tonight the first chapter of 1 Corinthians, he would include a lot of other things that causes people to get cold and to get distant and to get slack and to get non-concerned and to get out of praying and to get out of testifying. Oh, God, give us a fire of God in our soul that will permit us to testify and praise and glorify God. Take everything. I mean, take it all. But don't take my dedication to God away. Hallelujah to God. Praise the Lord. 40 years ago, last April the 5th, Sister Rutledge and I took our marriage vows, and they were not nearly as elaborate as what in our simple weddings that we have here is what we put on today. It just wasn't quite like it is nowadays. But we made a commitment to one another 40 years ago. That commitment still stands. That's love. That is love. Now, I've dealt with a number of problems. The devil has been real mean to us, and people's let him be. We've had about more than a half a dozen cases the last year inside our church, and we have felt the weight. Our church has felt the weight and the pressure of these things. And it starts with the idea, I don't love her or him anymore. You can't get out of it that easy. It just don't happen that way. Now, I know the storybooks and the movies and the make-believes is supposed to be a moon-eyed look that comes over you that causes you to feel so different and so awe-stricken. I want you to know the more you indulge, the less happy you are. Happiness is not in the things of the world. That's the same old serpent that offered unto Adam and to Eve in the garden happiness a long time ago. You'll be like a god. Adam, you and Eve will be like two gods walking around the Garden of Eden if you'll just do what I say do, but God says you'll die. You know, it's the most terrible thing to have the sentence of death pronounced upon us. Can you imagine? No, we can't really. Just think. Who was it, Tony? Just to see that blue light flashing. That gives you a terrible feeling. Don't it? Last night I didn't drive coming back from Rector. We went up to the dedication of our installation of Russell and Joy's pastor and wife, and Brother Rendell and Brother Johnny drove. I constantly said, watch it. When they get over that 65, they're in the danger zone.
Sometimes they are before you get to that.
I also inform them, whoever gets the ticket pays for it. Because it's my car, don't mean I'm guilty.
But it is an uncomfortable feeling to be stopped by a policeman. I'd even meet one of them. I may not be going 30 miles an hour in a 55 zone, and my foot just flies up like that. Suddenly, I don't feel comfortable. A little old scrawny policeman stopped me one time. Pardon me, John. No bigger than... Oh, yeah, he's a little bit bigger than John. Nobody small as John. He stopped me, and he talked mean to me. And he said a lot of hateful things. At least I thought just hateful. And, all I honestly did, I just pulled out. It was over on the old 65 highway before they built the freeway, and I pulled out of what used to be that DX station, where that filling station place is now. Isn't that the name of fire station or something? Ice cream place. I pulled out of there, and there was a bunch of cars coming, so I just run down the left side of the highway. It's at night. Several cars coming. All I did is just drive along there on the left shoulder until I caught them, and I dodged over and went on it. That's Pastor Dewdrop then. And so that fellow turned his blue lights on and followed me all the way to the church and stopped me right in front of the church. He talked so mean to me. He said, "Who are you?" I said, "I'm pastor of this church." And he said, "You, a preacher, do that?" And I said, I just thought I'd ease along there till I found a place. He said, "That's what drunk people do." And then he got real hateful. He said, "You ought to have more sense than to do something like that." And, you know, I got sin, yes, sir. That's right, sir. Yes, sir. You're right, sir. I wasn't afraid of him. I wasn't really afraid of his gun. They're not going to shoot you or something like that. But that little badge of authority that he had right there, you know, that little... Not worth a whole lot, but that means something. That'll make you say, "Yes, sir." Huh? Want it? You got any sense? You just try arguing with them. They'll throw two books at you. That's right. God has set some in the church. You hear me? By the virtue of the calling, you can't ignore what the preacher says and be saved. You can't do it. You can't ignore the truth of God's holy word and be saved. You can't do it. I think it was Brother Steve asked me today, because we were seeing different situations, and this is not picking on any church. We've got our problems just like everybody else has got their problems. You name whatever other church has got our size, we got one, two. Either we have or we're about to have. There's temptation pulling at every soul. This fellow has a pretty little whiskers all around, you know. But they said he just had the Holy Ghost 7 months. He still smokes, they said. But maybe. If it's my church, I'd do everything I could to develop him. You understand? I would not have a desire to run him off. But you know what makes it hard is when some of the older ones that were called to be saints a long time ago don't example before them until they can point and say, "But so-and-so does it." Now, the question, I think it was Steve asked me today, "Brother Rutledge, does the Bible really teach against whiskers and mustache?" My answer was no. It really doesn't, but I do. You say, "Do you have a right to?" Yes, I do. Because God called, gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints and the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, I could be in trouble if I'd say, "You're going to hell for this." I don't really have that right. But as your pastor, as your leader, I can ask you, boys, don't grow a beard. And then when we see Sam's come in, they'll shave.
But if half of our church had those whiskers when Sam come in, he'd never know the difference. He'd still be just going along. Now you say, what's wrong with it? It represents this drug age that we're in. It represents this crazy music that we've got going now. And all this sin business that's going on. That's the reason we're saying, no, 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 no. 40 years ago, that wouldn't have been thought about. That's the reason I believe if Paul was living now, he would include some things that's not given in 1 Corinthians. So he's not living, and I am. And I'm a pastor. I'm called for the perfecting of the saints of God. And I'm saying, live it. Dress it. Act it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, did you understand what I said? If I get on the judgment seat, you're going to hell with this, you're going to hell with that. That's not my place. But if you become disobedient and you start disobeying the teaching of the church one little bit, it's just like being on a downhill run. The next thing you know is something else. You see, here's what the devil's pulled on us. And I have not been one to take a strong, bitter stand because, well, first of all, I thought we was fighting a losing battle on the television issue. Second place, I do not think that everything that's shown on television is a sin. But I think some things are. But if I was going to have to try to outlaw it, then I'd try to outlaw the radio because, honest to the Lord, the radio is just about as ungodly. You can't see it, but you can feel that same old spirit. If you listen to it and absorb it, it'll get a hold of it. And that comes in the tapes and the records and the albums. And you see, all this is a downhill run. But you start down. Now, this is what the devil has done. He has put these things at our fingertips. Every last one of us have access to all this. You couldn't outlaw, and the manual of the United Pentecost Church, they recommend that you don't have one. Saints. They refuse to give license to a minister who owns one and has one in their home. Now, this has been violated many times. Times past, I've owned televisions, same as you have. So I'm not trying to be silly. Everybody say, Brother Rutledge's not trying to be silly. But you see, we never did. Never, never, never. And all the pages of old-fashioned holiness, and this didn't start with just the oneness move. This was in the Assemblies of God, and Sister Taylor's been there, and Brother and Sister Bristow's been there, and some of you, and in the Church of God. I was raised in the Church of God. Brother Howard was raised among the Assembly of God. And if you go back just a few years, every holiness-type church, including the Nazarenes, and Free Methodists, and old-fashioned Pilgrim holiness and all that, they all preached against the movies and the theater. Every last one of them. Now, where's the Assembly of God today? Just doing as they please, looking, excuse the reflection, but they're looking more like a Baptist than a Baptist looks like a Baptist. They paint and they prim, but they cut their hair and they dye their hair and they wear their breeches and they wear their shorts and they wear their excessive jewelry. You know I'm telling you the truth. I'm not just talking about them. I'm saying what's going to happen to us? We get so used to hearing this sung about, and we get so used to seeing it on television, until we might as well go to the show. And it is kind of hard to explain how we can watch a movie at home and can't watch one downtown, isn't it? Huh? Don't you have a little trouble getting around that? I'm not making any strong, harsh statements. Maybe I ought to play this on the radio. Just let them know that I do have a little sense when it comes to these things. But I see some danger signals, folks. I see too many homes being broken up. I see too many people going the way of the world. I see too many of our churches that are looking like the Assemblies of God started looking 15 years ago. What's going to happen to us? I pray that we'll always look like we look now or better. That we'll always talk like we talk now or better. That we'll always worship like we worship now or better. That we'll always pray like we pray now or even better. If that means a weeding out, then weed out.
It is better to enter into eternal life with one arm, one hand, one leg. One leg, either halt, maimed, blind, than to have both eyes, both hands, both feet.
Don't try to take somebody else with you to hell. David, if you ever take a notion to turn around, don't try to take Beverly with you.
Nicky, if you decide you want to be like the cutie pies of this world, cut your hair off. Don't you ever do it, girl. Don't you ever do it. Don't you ever do it. But if you ever, don't try to get Lisa to do it. If she tries to get you to, say, you're silly, girl. Just because you're going to hell, I ain't going. Amen. I mean, we got to get down to business about this. I know it's time to quit, but I'm serious, folks. I feel like rolling up my sleeves and preaching holiness. I feel like rolling up my sleeves and saying, live it. Praise God. I've got an apostle that wrote to me and said there's some things going on in the church that ought not to be. He said it's reported there's fornication among you. It's reported there's adulteries among you. It's reported that there's fightings and wars among you. It's reported there's division among you. And there ought not to be these things. After all, you're called to be saints. You know how good you ought to be? Just as good as you expect the greatest member in this church to be. That's how good you ought to be. Pick out the greatest one, or the one that you want to be the greatest, and say, I want to be like them. Will you stand with me? Praise God. Will you call on God? Will you call on God? Will you call on God? Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we love you. Oh, God, we praise you for your goodness.